Hello and welcome to the Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm Lee Hatcher, in conversation with Maria Serafim. Maria's been a director and worked with New South Wales Public Schools for more than a decade and is well known to many in the field of education leadership, and in particular for her application of a solutions-focused coaching approach to strategy and planning. Maria's story is an important one in terms of impact and improvement in education.
Coaching for me was a time where I recognised giving advice seemed to take power away from people, and asking questions actually gave it back to them. And so from that opportunity, which probably happened in a time when I was delving into a greater sphere of influence in supporting leaders to be the best they can be, so that our kids could be the best they could be, I recognised that it became the art of asking clever, strategic, open questions that allowed people to be left in a better place to lead.
From your experience then, why do questions turn out to be so effective? What's happening there?
It's about opening minds to possibilities. It's about people considering a way of thinking that maybe they hadn't thought before. And in particular in education, the complex role of the principal in what we'd call the VUCA world, that volatile, yes, unpredictable, complex, ambiguous world,
yes,
it's about bringing that back to what's our unchangeable core in terms of what drives us as educators, and that's about putting our kids in the best place to be living fulfilling lives and giving them the skills to do that.
I want to ask you about the solutions-focused approach, Maria, and how you've used it. I want to get practical. First of all, what are we talking about there, and how is it applied? How have you applied it in your own career and in education?
Solution-focused coaching opened a new door for me. It went from not just questions, it went to using statements and building an awareness and a noticing mindset. So in terms of using that with colleagues, it was about learning to affirm and giving myself permission to say, I'm really impressed with what you're doing. And in a coaching context, I often would think that that's more of a judgment. And what I've realised now, affirm, 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 build that positivity. It's built trust in ways that I don't believe I could ever have experienced it before. And from that platform, we've been able to change the way we work together as leaders. It's been quite extraordinary.
See, I would have thought as a leader, that'd be part of your kind of armoury, praise and affirmation. But are you saying that you were kind of hesitant to do that before?
I believe that I was more open to asking the questions, inquiring, leaving people empowered, and being more cautious around overemphasising what I was impressed with. And now from that solution-focused way of thinking, focus on what is working well, expand that as much as possible, and then build from a platform that's common to all of us. It's been a collective growth.
Can you give us an everyday example from your experience of how you've done that? Describe for me an interaction between a fellow leader in education or a principal or teacher. How does it work in practice?
Sure. Most recently, this week, we hosted an inverted commas dinner party to discuss leadership in a school. And I'd invited the principal to host a dinner party with their leaders and invite them to bring favourites, as in that classic box of favourites, but more so, what are your favourite leadership skills and qualities?
How enlightened.
It was extraordinary.
I bet.
The idea came from a solution-focused approach to considering the leader as a host. So moving from being the hero as leader or the servant as leader and now to the host. So just as we're sitting at a round table, the idea of sitting amongst people, being invitational, being a co-participant.
And over a meal.
Over a meal.
Yeah.
And
genius.
So the casual nature of the environment, yet we were talking about such deep, important things in relation to leadership skills and qualities.
I had to be a fly on the wall for that night.
Well, we recorded this,
and
it's something for them to now look back over and to remind themselves about what they said about each other and the cross-affirmations which we established early on. Let's affirm each other. Let's be curious. Let's see what we've noticed. Wonderful.
Yeah, sounds like another podcast coming to me. How does this actually work, Maria, at a system level, would you say? What are you actually doing in schools?
So we started at the beginning of this year. We applied a strategy canvas, and I was supported by Growth Coaching International through an opportunity that they had to facilitate what a strategy canvas might look like. And this was an invitation for me to the 32 principals that I work with to say, come and co-design my goals with me so that you can contribute to the way you want me to work with you. And at the beginning of the year, that's what we did. And in a nutshell, a strategy canvas was coming up with a common platform. It wouldn't surprise anyone as educators that we just wanted to make sure that our kids were making at least 1 year's growth for 1 year of learning.
Yes, yes.
And what do we need to do that? We need our principals to be well and their well-being to be a focus, and we needed to focus on their educational leadership. So that was an all-encompassing common platform that was agreed by all 32 principals. And from there, we worked out what 5 things must we do to achieve that.
Anyone hesitant or doubtful or suspicious?
We definitely had conversations around how's this going to look?
Yeah.
And respecting that every individual leader operates in their own way.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of a solution-focused approach, which is this is every case is different. And so my mutual respect with principals was around do it the way you need to do it. So from those 5 things, we applied 5 things that we had to get right. We applied a scale to say, well, out of those 5 things, out of 10, what are we getting right from that? So to give you an example, collectively we decided we were hitting the mark for principal well-being because of the way we work together, and it was a 7 out of 10. That's pretty good.
Totally.
And so there was the affirming. Let's affirm what we're doing well, and let's continue to build that.
The word empowerment comes to my mind immediately.
And from there, we just had to take small actions within the next 48, 72 hours. What are we going to do? And then set a timeline and course for what's been a wonderful year to date.
You're listening to the Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm in conversation with Maria Serafim, a director of public schools at the New South Wales Department of Education. So, on the ground, what's been the response to this solutions-focused approach in schools? How's it filtered through there?
It's probably best to give an example. So, yeah. From the first term, each of the principals used that common platform and formed their own goal around that. So we had a common goal, every principal in every one of the schools, their own iteration of that platform. In term two, I said to them, I'd like to come and observe this platform in action. And rather than tell principals how I wanted to do that, I co-designed what that would look like. And out came this wonderful creation that I would never have done myself. And principal colleagues created what we called share visits. SHARE standing for School Highlights, a Realistic Experience. And we created an expectation that that would be meeting and talking to kids, meeting and talking to teachers, and having a conversation with the leader and their executive. And we had an extraordinary time together that experience. It was so well embraced with every one of the 32 schools taking that on board. In this past term, at least half of the schools have asked for another visit in that vein, and they've invited colleagues to join them.
Oh, marvellous. What do you see humanly happening with people that you're bringing along in this process in their own professional growth and personal growth?
I believe an openness to having genuine, trusting relationships, which means that we are building off success rather than just focused on accountability,
yes,
which can at times be something that can stress and hinder our capacity to create and be innovative. We don't want people leading in fear. And my view is that where people have a trusting, open relationship where we can show some vulnerability, which means I've had to show that and admit it, and colleagues have been then able to reciprocate and do the same thing, we're in a team and we're doing it together.
I'm sure you see people glowing and growing through this process personally.
I'd invite you to talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what's in a podcast is a conversation with the principal.
Absolutely.
To say, what has the impact been? What have they seen? Because, again, with solution-focused approach, my experience has been not to make assumptions about what my perceptions are.
No.
It's about going out and really experiencing that action, being in the interaction with people. So I'm present and I'm there and deeply engaging and learning and growing and being open to whatever comes from that experience.
What would you say it's done for your own personal professional development, Maria?
It's definitely opened me up to being more vulnerable and real with people, to being a leader that recognises I've got to take responsibility for that sphere of influence and being excited about that impact and recognising I can't do it alone. So I've become that's my shortened version of co-creator, co-designer, collaborator, cooperative, and that's just compelled me, that's another co, that's compelled me to continue. I don't mean to keep adding puns with the co's, but to continue.
There's no end to this.
To continue with this approach.
Yes.
And there's more to do, and I do believe that my perception may be much more heightened, and I see it as much more exciting than maybe some others may. However, I'm open to having the feedback and learning about the impact, which I've continued to do.
Is it a risky thing to do?
Originally, I suppose, as I said, the affirmation was something new and different to the way I operated. It's been wonderful to just say, I'm so impressed with, and I love that.
Yes.
And isn't it great when... It's been, giving myself permission to do that was originally a risk, and for me now I've recognised that that's who I am, and I've embraced the opportunity to just be you, be real, and just get out there and do it.
Which all sounds great, and it is. How sustainable is it, do you think? Or what's being done to continue it, this great work?
If leadership is about inspiring and influencing, then sustainability is in what you leave behind when you're not there.
Yeah,
isn't
too right,
it?
Too
isn't
right.
It? And that's what we want for the children we impact on. So for me, every conversation is an opportunity to model and have someone experience what it feels like, because we know that's what people remember, what it feels like for them to have come away from that conversation. Did we leave them better off? Did we leave them feeling valued? Did we leave them feeling like they were in a place where they could continue to inspire? So the solution-focused tools are ones that I embed in the way that I talk, and there's a desire that if you're role modelling, others will see that that's something that's sustainable that they continue to do.
From your wealth of experience as a co in so many ways, you got any practical tips for how people can implement this so that this can be of benefit both to them and the school?
Embrace the fact that change is happening all the time. Look for the change that's happening that's where you want to get to where you want to be. And that's happening as well. Sometimes it can be hard to see that change if we're caught up in complexity and challenge.
Yes.
And in a principal's life, there's a lot of that they're working through.
Yeah.
So being able to pick out what we'd call the little nuggets of gold that we find and think, that's a shining, sparkling moment. How can I build on that, grow that? Surround yourself with people who believe in you.
Yes.
Because that's a real key to your success and certainly something that I've experienced in my own.
Not in a false way, though.
Not in a false way.
You don't want suck-ups.
Well, you know what? I've shared this with particularly many women, and we talk about empowerment of women in leadership.
Yeah.
And there's a wonderful little anecdote from Brené Brown, and she talks about having on your post-it note the people that are going to give you feedback, who love and trust and are going to say things that you may not want them, that you may not want to hear, because that's going to impact
on. It's coming from a good place.
But it's coming from a good place, and you know it. And she says the thing to do is to think about who's on that small post-it note for you, and if you get feedback from someone whose opinion doesn't quite match who the people are that are on your post-it note, just say to them, thank you very much for your feedback with a nice smile, and then quietly in your head say, but you're not on my list.
I've lost you immediately.
And I think that's what it's about, is I've been open to feedback and I've role modelled that to my colleagues. I've had people being interviewed anonymously about my work with them and then had received summary reports about that. Mm. And there's not all shining lights there about what I've been doing, because we can't be everything to everyone.
You're human, Maria.
Exactly. Yes. And the bottom line is, I've then got to look at that and say, are there things here that are giving me messages about the way I'm impacting on people? There are more than 15,000 students that I could be potentially impacting on in these 32 schools. So that's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
I've got to get that right.
Let me ask you finally, where's this heading? What's the next step? What's the next kind of palette of colours as you see this kind of approach applied?
Working with public schools and the Department of Education New South Wales is a very rewarding experience, where we are being given the scope to embed and explore and be innovative around how we work together. And I believe we've just got to continue doing what we're doing and growing in the way we are growing.
This certainly would fit into that.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. My view is that the way that we work with people and the way that we leave people feeling after our interactions is what matters most. And that comes from kids to kids, teachers to kids, principals to staff, principals to community. So this is a way of doing. And my view is that we're just building on what many people are already doing intuitively and providing some opportunities through such things like solution-focused tools to continue to do that.
You've absolutely inspired me. What great stories and what great impact in such an important area in our society, Maria. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Great to talk with you.
You've been listening to the Coaching in Education podcast series. Check out some of our other great podcasts in the series. They are at www.growthcoaching.com.au.